programs involving the dissipation of tape recorded memories and oral history material for publication, copyright, and other uses, I hereby release all rights, titles, or interests in and to all of my tape recorded memos to Champaign Public Library and declare that they may be used without any restrictions whatsoever and may be copyrighted and published by the said organization, which may also assign said copyright and publication rights to serious research scholars, in addition to the rights and authorities given to you under the preceding paragraph. I hereby authorize you to edit, public, sell, or license the use of my oral history memos in any other manner which the library considers to be desirable, and I waiver any claim to any payments which may be received as a consequence thereof by the library.
Okay. Dorothy Vickers Shelley interviewing Mrs. Ruth Woodruff Hines, 408 East Park, Champaign, Tuesday, July 10th.
I was born October 21st, 1893, to Mr. and Mrs. Benjamin James Woodruff and Mary Elizabeth Hall Woodruff of 609 East University Avenue, Champaign, Illinois. My father was born in a farm near Petersburg, Virginia, and worked his way from Virginia to Illinois at the age of 19 years, looking for work. He was hired by a farm family in Whiteheath, Illinois, a few miles west of Champaign, Illinois. And I don't know where to go. From there, he went to Danville, Illinois.
Oh, hold it.
From there, he went to Danville, Illinois, and was hired on the president's car, the general manager's car, on the CNEI that ran from Danville to Cairo, Illinois. In Danville, he stayed a couple of years and would come back and forth to Champaign. Later on, he met with my mother, and she was born near Sidney, Illinois, just about 15 or 20 miles away from Champaign here, east of Champaign. And they went together for a couple of years, and then she came to Champaign and worked for about a year because she had a older brother and sister here in Champaign. From there, when they were engaged, and she went back to Sydney to get her clothes ready to get married. My father rented a house in Danville on Lemon Street, and there he furnished this house and had it all ready for the wedding, I guess. They were married in this house by Reverend E.P. Moore, a Methodist minister.
Where was he pastor, Reverend Moore? Which
in
church?
I don't know.
Oh, it was in Danville, though.
Danville, church in Danville.
Okay.
Had it ready for a wedding or for them to be married.
Mm-hmm. She was bringing all of her clothes then from Sydney?
And her relatives came there.
Did they then live in Danville for a while, or they lived here?
They lived in Danville for a while.
How long were they in Danville?
They lived in Danville for a year, I'm sure.
And then they moved to Champaign?
Yes.
When did they move to Champaign?
In 1898, let me see, they moved in 1890. They were married May the 24th, 1891. months of my sister's born, 1889. Let me see. I had it somewhere else.
Okay, well, then you want to check and I can just stop the tape for a minute?
No, I'll stop here and think a minute. They got married in, May the 24th, 1889.
May 24th, 1889?
Mm-hmm. Either 88 or 89.
Okay, now you said a minute ago that 89. Your sister was born in 1891?
Oh my, yes.
Mm-hmm. So then you had one sister. Did you have any other?
No. Let's see. I think my brother was born in December 1891. My sister was born in February 1890.
February
1890?
Yeah,
either 1889
or 1890.
Okay, and how about yourself?
Did I
was born in October 1892.
So then you were the youngest child.
Yes. My sister was just barely a year a little more older than my brother. Let's see. He was born in December, and she was born in February before, or something like that.
Okay, and so then all three of you were born on university, that
no,
house you mentioned?
No. She was born in Danville, where they have Danville. He was born on Clark Street in Urbana, and I was born on University Avenue in Champaign.
Would you share with us a little bit about what your life was like as a little girl with your brother and your sister, the kinds of things that you did?
Well, we played together because it's just, we weren't around any, when I can remember on University Avenue, we weren't around any small children. Finally, we had a family moved back of us near the Baptist church. It was on Clark Street, and they were the man run the ice house here, and he had I don't think he had he had a boy and a girl kind of near my age and my brother's age. We played with them, but otherwise, and we watched them play over on the campus, you know, that was right across from the ballpark. And they'd practice out there and play out there. And we'd watch them. And when we had very good friends that lived just across in Urbana, and this one set of them was there every day. So one set of them's mother liked to go all the time, and she'd get her aunt lived out on Stoughton Street, and she'd get her aunt, and she'd come by and say, "Well, Lizzie, you going anywhere today?" They'd call her my mother, Lizzie. And she said, "No, I'm not going to have with the children." She said, "I have a meal to get to." Uh-huh. This one was a barber's wife, and she didn't care whether he, I'm not nervous.
No, but that'll pick up on
that. Uh-huh, oh yeah. And she didn't care whether she's home to get his meals or not. He'd eat down somewhere. So that was, you remember, I know you know George Pope's wife.
Yes.
Well, it was her mother-in-law's mother.
Her it was...
But it's George's mother, George's grandmother.
Okay.
And we'd all stay around home there and we'd play with his mother and his mother's cousin. She lived in Kansas City, now the cousin died. And we just play around home together and enjoy ourselves. And everything went on while we got to go to the parades. Parades always come by our house, come up Wright Street, by our house on University Avenue, we got to see everything that went on. And when they had big ball games, they had parades. And they had real good parades when they had these ball games. And except with Indiana, where they fight every time.
Do you mean actually fist fight?
Actually fight. When the next day and the games were all over, we lived on the corner, and there was a little house in the back that a family by the name of Jeffersons lived. And the next day, and we had a fence around to our house, and then see our house up there, and on the side of our house here, we had a fence between the white family that lived us. Their names were white, lived next door to us. But these Indiana folks, they fight, we find rakes, hoes, hatchets, everything in our yard when they, the next day. They just really fight.
Was this the University of Indiana?
Indiana State, let's see. It wasn't from, let's see, where's the other university? One's in
Bloomington.
Well, that's the one, I think. And the other one's in,
I'm not sure.
I can't think, because we go near there when we go to my daughter.
Terre Haute?
No, but I can't think of that.
But anyway,
they used to fight. So, but we got to go to things all the time. And my mother was the type that would take you if there was a park or it was a parade or anything, like 4th of July going on, why she would take us, anything that went on. We used to go to the cemetery. She didn't have anybody out there, but she believed she had friends. She believed that you should honor these folks and remember them. And so if she had flowers, she'd go take them to some of her close friends' grave. And we used to go with her. We used to walk from here.
Now, which cemetery?
Mount Hope, out there by the south of the campus.
By Pennsylvania Avenue. Okay. Did you go there only on special days?
Cemetery?
Uh-huh.
Oh, just on when they had Memorial Day or something going on. And you know, the Masons, my father was a Mason, and if they had a funeral, one music, a band played. The band would go ahead up, and we'd watch them. Sometimes we'd go out.
So the band would play as part of the funeral procession.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what were people, were they on horses or in cars?
No,
or
they all
walked.
The family were in cars, buggies or what they call them.
Mm-hmm.
And these Masons walked.
When you say buggies.
People walk nowadays, then, you know, they don't walk nowadays. See, my children don't walk from their grandmother's house up here. And my children walk there 2-3 times a day if it's necessary.
So, for this funeral procession, some people walked who were in it, and then others would be, you said a buggy. Now, was that a buggy drawn by a horse?
Horse.
Okay. On University. Was University the same size as it is right now?
The university itself?
The street. No, the street.
The
university
avenue?
Street.
Oh, yes.
It's the same size.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been enlarged that I know anymore.
So then did that mean that policemen got around
would,
at that time on horses?
Would lead them, I think.
And policemen on duty, if they were just doing a regular patrol, would they also be on horses? Like now they drive around in cars.
No, I think I really don't remember now, but sometimes to me, they walk with them, I'm not sure.
Okay, what other kinds of games did you play when you were little? You said you went to the park, you watched the ball games, you played with your sisters and brothers and your sister and brother and the whites next door.
We played that little games like hopscotch, and we had croquet. That's the main thing we got. We had croquet set in our yard. We had one down there and we had one up here. And we played croquet all the time. And then when we got so big, it was wintertime, when we moved out here, the boys skated. He had more boyfriends. They moved out here. They weren't colored boys. They were white boys,
mm-hmm.
Catholics and Germans. But anyway, we skated up and down the street. The rest of them did. I tried to too, because when I was younger, and see, I was younger than my sister. I tried. She didn't take too much of anything. She played the piano when she wanted. Or played games. She played outside, croquet or something like that. She didn't move around too much.
So in winter, there wasn't a skating rink where you could go. You would skate right in the street. How old were you when you started school?
I was 5.
Tell me about that.
And I went to Marquette.
Where was that located?
Right where it is now.
What street is that?
Clark and Forth.
Clark and Forth? Okay.
And, I I went, let's see, the first semester I went. You know, you're supposed to be 6 before you go.
Oh.
And then you're supposed to be 6 years old. Or if you wasn't 6 when you went, you're supposed to be 6 before November or something. I don't know. But I don't remember. So, but I think my teacher lived back on me. And she told my mother that the room, her room wasn't crowded. So she'd take me. So she took me to school. And I got to go all the first semester, but I didn't get to go out because the school, the room began to get crowded, so you had no more of this and that, and so I didn't get to go. I didn't go no more until we moved out here. Then I went.
When you say out here, do you mean university?
No, right there at the back of the Baptist church, they had Lawhead.
What street was that you moved to?
Columbia Avenue.
You lived on Columbia Avenue, mm-hmm. And that's when you went to the Lawhead School?
Willard. Never went to Lawhead.
Okay, so you moved into Columbia Street and went to Willard School.
Mm-hmm. And I went to Willard School, I think it was a 4-year school. I went from Willard School to Marquette. Can you remember the name of the school that is on, was on, they're not using it now, Columbia and,
right
and
here in Champaign?
Randolph, yeah.
Columbia and Randolph.
Yes, it's abandoned now. I don't know what's in it, there's something in it, but they don't.
I don't know, now maybe it's the building which they used for a while as a kind of teacher center, Champaign Teacher Center.
Maybe so.
Okay, because I know a couple of years ago, they had the lady who was in charge of the gifted program for Champaign. She was housed there, and teachers could come to get ideas for different kinds of programs.
Maybe then.
But it is a school. It is a school building, and it is not used anymore for classes. So is that where you went?
I went there 1 year. Schools begin to get crowded. Went from Columbia Avenue. They're out there 1 year. The kids can't bus now, but we walk. And then the next year, I didn't go there. I went to Colonel Wolf. You know where Colonel Wolf
is? Yeah, they have Head Start there now.
Come back from Colonel Wolf to Marquette. From Marquette to high school.
So then, you went to about 4-5 different schools from 4 different, you changed, I should say,
yes.
4 different times. I think you said Marquette
I
twice.
I did, but none of my, I didn't go to Marquette twice like that. I went to this school I started to tell you about.
The one at Columbia?
Gregory.
Okay, that's the one on Columbia and Randolph?
Yes, and then to Colonel Wolf. Then I did come back to Marquette. And then Marquette to high school.
Okay, now, the children today go to one school, kindergarten through 5th grade, then a second school, 6th through 8th grade,
mm-hmm.
And a third school, 9th through 12th grade.
Mm-hmm.
The 4 schools you attended before you went to high school, that last one was Marquette. What grade were you in when you left Marquette?
This is all grade schools. You went from there to high school.
I see. All grades were housed mm-hmm. there. So just when you finished whatever was the last grade,
mm-hmm.
did they call it like grade 7 or grade 8?
Grade 8.
Mm-hmm. Then you went to the
we
high
went
school.
4 years to high school.
Okay.
We didn't have that junior high.
Okay, so it was straight like from elementary went up through 8th grade and then 9th grade.
And our high school was at, on the corner, Randolph.
Hill and Randolph?
Yes, Hill and Randolph.
Okay. When you were in elementary, those elementary schools, what kinds of things did you do? I mean, what did you study? What did you learn about?
Well, we studied for everything the kids do now, except in the grade school, we didn't study a language. We used to study what they call word analysis.
Oh, did you do diagramming of sentences?
Well, yes.
Because they don't do that much anymore at all.
When we studied word analysis, you could make out your own words pretty good, don't you know, word analysis. I can't describe
like
it.
Like nouns and verbs?
Yes.
And yeah, they don't do much of that in a lot of schools now either. Okay, so you had social studies, gym. In social studies?
No, we didn't have too much gym until we got to high school.
Really?
We might have little exercises out, don't you know, like that, but we didn't have like a gym class.
With you being born in 1893, you would have been finishing the eighth grade. What about 1905? In social studies, what kinds of things did you study? I was wondering if you read about the Civil War and the Revolutionary War.
That kind of came under our history.
History.
We had history and geography. We had this word analysis. We always had some kind of mathematics.
How did you write? I remember, I'm 44, and I remember when I was in elementary school, we had desk with a little inkwell, and you had to put your pen in the inkwell, and every now and then, some silly boy would put my braids or the girl next right into the inkwell if he sat behind you. Did you have that experience when you were in school?
My braids weren't that long.
But you did have the inkwell.
Yes, we had the inkwell.
With that pen going in it.
That's what we had.
All right, did you find that hard to write with that little silly pen?
No, I didn't. Well, I got 2 certificates about it. I can't write now, but I got 2 certificates somewhere around.
For good penmanship?
And I got my boy in California's got 2 certificates. My husband was a good writer, very good. My children do fair. Ray does when he wants to do it, but the older boy here, he writes good.
When you went on to high school, what was high school like for you?
Well, it was always a little different. To me, you had to kind of work up to the difference in not going out to recess and like that, don't you know? It was more, begin to get more grown up to me, you know, staying all day. And we had languages.
Which language did you study?
I had Latin and German. I did Latin and German. And we had this algebra. That's how I learned physical geography in high school. And we had algebra, and we had, you know, the next thing out after algebra, geometry.
Mm-hmm.
And we had music.
Did you take swimming as part of your gym class? No swimming.
Because I didn't take swimming when I enrolled over.
You were afraid of the water then?
Well, I stayed out of everything that said swimming, and when I didn't go anymore, I was glad I didn't have to take swimming.
Yeah, something that I'm curious about, today, many of our black students talk about the prejudice that they experience. They seem to notice it more on the high school level than the elementary level, and so I don't know if it means that it's more prevalent on the high school level, or if it's that they're at an age where they are more aware of it, the black students.
We never noticed it, at least I didn't notice it. We had a few girls in high school, and we enjoyed them, we enjoyed the white ones too. And they took pictures of the twins, and the colored twins. My twins were the only colored twins in that class. And they took pictures of them right with the other bunch, and they were all very nice.
Did they have cheerleaders for like their basketball games, football games? Did they have girls as cheerleaders?
I don't know what girls, I just don't remember now whether they had girls or not. But my as a children.
What's his name?
Ray
Hines?
In the band. And Barbara played in the band. And Gerald finally played in the band. And the other boys played on ball teams. Harriet and two other girls, Bertie, I think. Yes, Harriet and Bertie and Helen, they worked in the library.
These are your children you're
yes,
telling me about?
My sister.
Okay, well now going back to when you were in high school, could black students participate in the band, the orchestra, in plays if there were any?
As they would, I think they could.
Were you ever interested in any of those things?
I wasn't interested. I liked drawing.
Oh, you did?
And I used to draw a whole lot.
Do you draw any now? No?
No. I was a drawer, but for myself. I couldn't draw for nobody else. But I did have one of my little drawings I was going to show you, but I remember it is not what I gave it to the boys. A little verse that I put a Mother's Day thing, and I think I gave it to my mother first, then I kept it after she died, and I don't know where it is now. That's like I didn't find that other thing I was going to show you, but I'll find it. You got that?
Go ahead, yeah. Then on that drawing, if you do find it, I wish you would share it with me.
Okay.
What year did you graduate from high school?
1914. I was a little behind.
1914.
My mother was sick and I was with her
mother. So you had to be out of school for a year or so?
No, I was not a year, but I don't know that. I was a mother's child, and I guess that affected me. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Did you do other things, okay, like we've talked about the band and football games, basketball games, so on. Outside of school, were there any social activities available to young teens?
Only around the church, they had different little things. We had, out in the south end of town, we had a park that our church used to go to. They sort of sponsored this playground, and we'd go anytime you wanted to, but we all kind of went on Fridays or Thursdays or Friday evenings, and we'd have get-togethers out there, don't you know.
But that was sort of sponsored by the church?
Yes, we sort of, it was, we had a club around the church called, the men's club was called Baracket, and the women's club was called Philathea.
Philathea?
Yes, and, these clubs would sponsor lots of these things, you know. And then, of course, they went to the games they wanted to go to on the campus or any of the musicals they wanted to go to or could afford to go to.
I don't know when the park district started, you know, these special programs and the parks and all. Was there a park district when you were a young person in high school?
No. It hasn't been so terribly long. We've had Park District. I don't know when you start. I think Mrs. Bridgewater could tell you about that.
Is that Irma Bridgewater?
Yes, I think she kind of started out a time.
Then, am I understanding correctly?
My husband worked with the Park District too.
Oh, he did?
When he wasn't well, and he couldn't do anything else, he worked with the Park District when, you know, Helen Hines?
Yes.
On Helen Hyde's sister and his brother.
What was her
together.
Name? Okay, well, Helen Hyde's sister worked at the Park District.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay, well, it'll come to you. It'll come to you. I am curious, though, from the time you entered elementary school until the time you graduated from high school, you don't feel that you experienced any kind of prejudice because you were a black American?
Well, we either wasn't
This was in school right now.
Now, at that time, our people wasn't aware of it, or else we didn't really didn't seem very prejudiced because the kids had a party or anything, they'd kind of invite you to the party. Now, some went, I didn't always go, but some went.
Mm-hmm.
But far as I know, we haven't seen too much.
Okay. What kinds of other things? Now, you stated that, let's see, there were some activities, social activities, sponsored by the two groups, the men's group and women's group, from the church. How about going to the movies? Did you do much of that?
I didn't, but my older sister and brother used to go to the movies a bit young. And somebody said they had sit up and pigeons, but I don't know.
Sit up where?
They said, and what they said was a pigeon.
Oh, way up top?
That's what they said, but I don't know much about that. Somebody a little older than I am might have known something about that, but I don't know.
Now, is that because you didn't go to the movies yourself, or when you went to the movies, you could sit anywhere you wanted?
Most of my schooling was when I lived at 506 East Columbia Avenue, Champaign.
What about your brother and sister?
My brother and sister, part of theirs was at Marquette. Most of theirs was at Marquette. They didn't go. My sister, I think, went to Colonel Wolfe, but my brother, I don't think he went to Colonel Wolfe. He just went to Marquette most of the time.
Okay, we talked about some of your school activities, some of your social activities, and both those organizations were through the church. Which church did you attend as a young person?
Bethel AME on the corner of 4th and Park Avenue.
The same Bethel which is across the street now? Is that the same? How has that building changed?
The building set on the right on the corner of 4th and Park Street. The older building did. But in the last 6 or 7 years, maybe longer, I guess a little longer, they built the building just on the lot just east of where the first building was.
Was there a large congregation?
We used to have a very large congregation.
Do you remember?
Because there wasn't very many churches of our denomination in Champaign, and all I remember we had was an AME, a Baptist, and a CME.
Are those the three churches that black people mostly attended? The AME, the CME?
As far as I know, later on, I know we had kept student girls after we moved where I live now. And some of them were Episcopalians, and different denominations, Catholics, and they went to different churches.
Mm-hmm. Who were the ministers when you were young? Let's say, once you started Bethel AME, who were the ministers? Let's take us up to 1914, because that's when you said you graduated from high school.
Yes.
Do you remember?
Reverend G.W. Jones. He pastored here twice. Reverend Hackley.
What was his first name? Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Reverend Smith. Reverend A.T. Jackson.
Well, if you think of any more as we move along, just stop and we'll go back. You know, you could say it right then. Okay, 1914, you're leaving high school, but something that comes to my mind is, while you were in high school, grades 9 through 12, were students encouraged to go on to college, or were they encouraged to do something else?
Well, I really don't know, because when we went to was old enough to go to high school and was going to graduate, it was always impressed upon us by our parents that we shouldn't take anything that wasn't accredited to a university. And therefore, if we were able to go on to college.
I see.
But we all three weren't able to go on and go through. I had a brother that went on, except 1 year, and then he went, the army started, and he went.
That was the First World War?
I don't know what you call it, the First World
War. What year would that have been?
Okay, around. So started to new feel out here.
Yeah, it would have been the First World War then.
Well, he wanted to go to the officers' training camp, and he couldn't gain enough pounds, so they let him be a teacher out to Chinook Air Force Base
in Rantoul.
They moved him from there. After a year, a little more, to south somewhere. And then they moved him from there to Wright-Patterson Field.
Where's that located?
In Dayton, Ohio.
Okay.
And that was his last year.
Okay, so now that's...
They left the NFE passed.
Okay, so then that's what he did after leaving high school. How about your sister?
My sister, I'm deaf, and she finally quit.
She became deaf, was it during high school or after high school?
No, during high school.
During high school. So she stopped going to school after she became deaf.
Yes.
And how about Ruth Woodruff?
Well, I went on until I could possibly, couldn't go no longer. My mother got sick and I just went there. First year I went to the university. I just went the first year.
You went to the University of Illinois for a year.
And I intended to go some more, but I never did. But I have had an urge to go in the last year or so, but I'm not going now.
I thought when we talked the other day, you said you might think about going to Parkland if you had transportation.
But I did say that, but I don't think I'm going to work up to that because I'm getting a little older and a little crippled.
Okay. All right. Now, it's about what, 1916? See, you were out of high school. You went 1 year to the University of Illinois, so we're about 1916, 1917?
1918. See, it's getting near 1918. I stayed home 1617, I think. 1917. 1918, my mother died, and we moved here.
And here is what is...
Here, I've been here ever since.
You moved to 408 East Park in 1918.
May 1918.
Okay, so you moved here with your father?
My father. My mother was living when we moved here, but she didn't live but about a week or 10 days or something like that after we moved here.
Okay, so what was it? You, your father, who else?
And my sister. My brother was married. He got married before we moved here.
Did he remain in Champaign?
Until he went to work at Wright-Patterson Field, but he always left his family in Champaign.
What was your brother's name?
Arthur. Arthur Eugene Woodruff.
Okay. All right, 1918. When did you meet Mr. Hines?
It must have been 1910 or 12. Because he came, my husband was born in Grand Tower, Illinois.
Grand Tower?
Yes.
I never heard of that. Where's that near?
I can't tell you. It's down, it's south of here.
Mm-hmm.
Down near Missouri somewhere.
Okay, Grand Tower,
Illinois. And he had two brothers, a mother and father and two brothers. And they moved here after he graduated from after he got a grade school down there. He moved here and went to high school here. And I met him in high school here.
So could we say, were you high school sweethearts?
Well, I guess so.
Then you knew each other several years before you got married.
Yes, he went to the Army and came back before.
So he served in World War One also. Mm-hmm. Did he go overseas?
Yes.
Where did you know where he went?
Germany and different places. But he played in a band.
Was that while he was in the armed forces?
Yes, he played the drums in a band while he was in the armed forces.
So when did you get married?
We got married in 1922.
Where?
Here.
Over at Bethel?
Home.
Right here in the house?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
Well, we didn't have a big crowd. My mother was dead, and we just his family and mine. They got married here. I had a daughter, got married here at home too, since I was young.
So how many children do you have?
I have 9 children.
So out of the 9 children, 1 daughter got married here in the home, just like you
and
got married in the home.
And the other children got married, 1 daughter got married here at home, and the other daughters all got married over the church.
Bethel. Okay, so you got married, and then you remained in this house.
Remained right here with my dad, because my mother always told us not to leave him, and he didn't want us to leave. So my sister and I stayed right here and kept things going.
What was this neighborhood like when you were married?
Well, the neighborhood was full. Our block was full. We didn't have the park over there. And we had one Negro family lived on the east of us when they lived there, but it was... The children were all grown and they were all married, and nobody lived there very long. One of the younger girls came there and lived a while, and then she and her husband went to Indiana and lived. They shut the house up, and she come back and lived a while.
Do you remember that family's name?
Blackburn family that owned the house. It was Blackburn, B-L-A-C-K-B-U-R-N.
That was a black family, the Blackburns?
Yes, uh-huh.
You know, in this block, this is fifth up here?
No, this is fifth here.
Fifth, so this block is between fourth and fifth. Are you saying that, that all of the families on this street, except the one at the far corner, were white?
All the families I knew when I lived here from First Street to Goodwin Avenue, we only had 4 Negro families that I know of, and 2 of them lived in this block I lived in when the Blackburns were here, when their children, whoever lived there, was there. And an old lady that lived across the street where the church sits now. And that's all that lived in my block. All that lived in the next block was right up on the corner. Their names were
It'll come later. And as I told you before, as we're going along with this interview...
Nash.
Are there any Nashes still here?
Not of their set, no.
Not of that set.
And then there was no more Negroes that I know of lived between Fifth Street and Goodwin Avenue.
Except those 4 families?
Except those that I knew. Mm-hmm. And there was none lived between Fourth and First Street that I knew.
Okay. When was your first child born?
1921. About a year after I was married. 1922 or 1923. James.
James Hines, 1922. Was he a junior? What was your husband's name?
Ray E.
Hines.
He was named James F.
Okay. How did you feel your first child?
James L.
Hines was your first child.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel as you were carrying your very first child?
Well, I felt quite happy. I felt like I'd be at home and take care of my dad. My interest was in my dad right then.
Uh-huh.
And I felt quite happy. I was home all the time. I had very few jobs. That's the reason I didn't get anywhere.
Was James born here,
right,
at 408 or in a hospital?
James was born in the hospital. I had a couple of them born here at the house, I think. And the rest of them was born in the hospital. Burnham.
Uh-huh. Okay. James L. was your first child. How many children did you have altogether?
9 children.
Would you tell me the names of the 9 children, what they do, and where they are living now?
Harriet Hines was the second one, Harriet E. And she lives in Chicago. And she works for the material service company. And she's a clerk, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one is Helen E. She lives in Dayton, Ohio, and works at White Bright Patterson Field as a clerk typist for the engineering department. Ray E. Ray F. That's a bad. He lives in Champaign. And he works at General Motors near Danville. Harold W. lives in Los Angeles, California. And he works for the Postal Service Department. Daryl C. lives in Chicago, and he works for the Seaway Bank. Geraldine C. lives in Maryland, and she works at one of the state colleges in Maryland. Anyway, the next one is Bridinette. Bridinette C. And she's an analyst for the telephone company in Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And Barbara Jean works for, lives in White Plains, New York, and she works with the school system.
We forgot to list James L.
James L. lives in Champaign, and he works for the IMPE at the University of Illinois.
Having the nine children, what did you feel was or is the most important thing or things for a mother to do for her children?
Well, I thought they should be brought up to be honest, truthful, educated, and religious, obedient.
What did you do with them to help these kinds of things become a part of them?
Well, we went to church all the time. I thought that was quite a help. We took part in the affairs that was going on around the church. They went to Sunday school all the time, and they went to church services. And as they grew older, our church had a little orchestra. Some of them played in the orchestra. The girls sang in the choirs. They taught Sunday school, and our church had a little social affairs for the church. They had what they called a picnic once a year for the Sunday school. That was one of the biggest things that the Sunday school had during the year, was a picnic, because it seemed like everybody all over town, whether they were Methodist or Baptist, tried to go to this picnic. And it was usually out of town somewhere, either at Homer Park or St. Joe Park, or out here at a park near Illinois Central. And sometimes just here in town in the later years. but everybody tried to go to this park and enjoy themselves. Seems like to me we never met with those we really knew in town until we got to the Sunday school picnic. And then they had little socials over at the church. I belonged to a church club, and it was named the Willing Workers. I belonged to it for years. And we would have, we had a good many for that time of year. We had a good many students sort of scattered that went to college, and they didn't seem to have no other places to go, only places where you spend a lot of money, like the ice cream parlors and to the shows or something. And we had what they called a forum on Friday nights, and they'd come to the forum, and this club would serve. We'd sell, to make a little money for the club and keep things going, we would serve hot dogs and hamburgers and ice cream pop and things like that. And then the church finally had a little playground. Playground was on Els Avenue. And they could go to this playground. I think they went about twice a week. And on Fridays and Saturdays, everybody that liked to go to playgrounds and play different games would go.
Right now, you say that the playground was on Els. That is not super close to 408 East Park. Did they walk there or go by bus?
We walked. Everybody in those days, that if you didn't have a horse and buggy, you walked. But they begin to have, as my children got older, they begin to have cars. Now, we had what they call a hubmobile.
A hubmobile?
Uh-huh.
Do you know what company made that? What year was that?
Oh, I don't know. It must have been, must have been 23 or 4,
somewhere. 1923
or 1924? Yes.
A hubmobile.
24, maybe 25. Let's see. Helen was a baby. I think we got this hub.
Okay. So then you took the children for rides in that car?
Yeah, when my husband wasn't playing out of town somewhere, we would always take him out on Sunday usually if he was home. But if he wasn't playing out of town during the weekends, why, we'd take him from there every evening for a little ride before we put him to bed.
Playing, what did your husband, was he with an orchestra or a band?
Orchestra.
What was the name of the orchestra?
Well, for a time it was called Scott Hines, and then it was called Scott after that, Scott's Orchestra.
Was that named after anybody in this town?
My
Scott
husband
part?
And Scott, his friend. And then after my husband began to get kind of 40, it was named after Scott, but my husband played.
Is this Scott by any chance the husband of your friend Sarah Scott?
Yes, her husband.
I see. What was his name?
Raymond.
Raymond Scott. Is he living?
No.
He's not living.
He's not here. Not any of his children are living except Emma.
Where did they play?
Well, during the war, they had...
World War II
when they come back, because it went on into World War II, you see.
Okay.
They played at... They had the taverns and roadhouses between here and different towns and like... And they have gone as far as Michigan to play. But they go on the weekends and they come.
Did they play often here in Champaign-Urbana?
Oh, yes. They used to play around here. A lot of roadhouses and a lot of different affairs that they had around here.
All right. Several weeks ago, Snapper Johnson was telling me that the Armory, a couple of blocks up from here, was often used for dances because he and his wife went there. Now, did your husband's group play there, the Armory?
Mm-hmm.
How often was that used for dances, the Armory?
I couldn't tell you just how often. But I know they had played down there, too.
Were you aware, Mrs. Hines, as to if your husband experienced any prejudice or discrimination as he and Mr. Scott and the other men in the orchestra traveled around various places?
Well, they didn't seem to talk much about it. They probably did because it was prejudice, they said, but they didn't seem to meet up with too much of it. The most of it was like joining the union or something like that. They couldn't join the white union.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, they seemed to get along pretty good otherwise.
All right. Where did your children go to school?
My children?
Yes.
All of my children went to Marquette and the Champaign High School. I don't think anybody. Marquette and Colonel Wolf. No, what did I say? They went to Colonel Wolf. Yes, I think Helen went to Colonel Wolf. Well, they went to Marquette, and I'll say Colonel Wolf, one or two of them did, and Champaign High.
I see. So they're pretty much in the same schools. Did any of them?
But I did have to go to three PTAs one time as my children, the ages were. When some of them was in high school, some of them was maybe in Colonel Wolf and some of them was not in Marquette and like that.
So that kept you busy?
Yes.
I recall that you stated a while back that one of our local people, Preston Ransom, lived with you when he was a student at the University of Illinois. Is he the only student who lived here?
The only male student. We had several girl students. I imagine between 30 and 40 stayed here with us. Some of them were AKAs. The AKAs were housed in a place where they had to move, and when they had to move, why, we took them in, four or five of them. And from that on, at different times, they stayed here the first year, and then at different times when they had an overflow, why, the AKA girls would stay here.
Where was the AKA house at that time, do you remember?
When they had an overflow.
Right, or when you said earlier that
they moved
from, uh-huh.
From Green Street, I believe it was. Either from Green or Stoughton, over here.
Did the Deltas have a house at that time?
No.
So then
I don't think they had a house.
So then Alpha Kappa Alpha was the only sorority having its own house at that time. Mm-hmm. What years are we talking about, Mrs. Hines?
I can't tell you exactly.
Okay, can you give me the range of years that students stayed here in your home?
Well, I think from, anyway, from about 1920 on up until, I don't know when was the last year we kept them, because we, one or 2 years, we didn't keep them in the winter, but we kept summer students that came, and I don't remember the year.
Oh, you know, I forgot to ask you when we were talking about the Hines Scott Orchestra. Which instrument did your husband play?
Drums.
Drums. Okay. Now, with regard to these students, why did they live here with you?
Well, the AKAs got together and had a house. And I don't think they... Well, I really don't know. They didn't want to go in a dorm. I think dorms were kind of high then. There wasn't too many of them. And so they got together and just stayed at somebody's house, don't you know. And then when they had to move from this place, I think it was on Stoughton Street, they moved down here to our place.
I have been told several years ago that there was a time when black students could not live on campus at the U of I. Now, would that have been why some of them lived with you, or?
I don't think so. I think when they lived out in town, most of the time was maybe they felt like they couldn't afford to live on the campus. That's the way I felt. Now, it might have been different,
mm-hmm.
but that's the way I felt. They might have felt like they couldn't afford to live on the campus, because usually those that lived with us, their parents would come to see them while they were here, and so, and I just sort of got the impression that they felt like it was little expensive for them to live on the campus, because sometimes one family would have more than one in school, like when I went, my brother was in, and we both couldn't be in at one time. And then some of the others I met up with had sons somewhere else and daughters here, or two daughters here, or something like that.
What year were you at the University of Illinois?
Well, 1956.
That's when I
enrolled.
Okay. I'm from Detroit, Michigan, Mrs. Hines, and about 1943, I think it was, there was a short period when there were some pretty bad times between black and white. We had race riots in Detroit. Were there race riots here in Champaign, Urbana, in your lifetime that you would recall?
If they were, I don't recall.
Do your children visit you often?
Yes. Before this past winter was so bad, there was somebody down about twice a month. One of the children was there about twice a month for some of their family.
Mm-hmm. How do they feel about being able to come back after this long to the home in which they were raised?
They seem to enjoy coming home. And even though they have a couple of brothers living here, they would always all rather be around home. They said they just as soon sleep on the floor than to go somewhere else and sleep in the bed.
So home for them.
At this point, we'd like to make a correction regarding the given names of the 9 children born to Ruth Beatrice Woodruff Hines and Ray Edmund Hines. The names are
James Lafayette Hines, Harriet Elizabeth Hines, Helen Evelyn Hines, Ray Frederick Hines, Harold Woodruff Hines, Daryl Carlos Hines, Daryl Constance Hines, Bertinette Camelia Hines, and Barbara Jean Hines.
Mrs. Hines, would you please spell Bertinette Camelia for our typist?
Camelia had two L's in her name.
Spell it. Okay, spell it for us, please.
Bertinette Camelia.
Okay. When we talked in between tapes, you mentioned two things which we didn't get on our first tape. One was that you had been an insurance agent for the Supreme Liberty Life, and something about your work with the first house that the sorority Alpha Kappa Alpha had. Would you tell me a little bit about those two things?
Well, I collected and sold insurance for this insurance company. I think it was the Supreme Liberty Life, because the secretaries of this company that worked in Jacksonville under Dr. Kennebrew, when the company went out there, they went over to the Liberty Life in Chicago and worked. We collected insurance once a month, and we had a pretty good debit.
Debit? Yeah. About how many people?
Oh, I don't know. I only had about 27 on my list, between 27 and 50, but that was a big debit for me with two children.
Now, was that right around in this area where you live?
No, some of them went as far as Bradley Avenue.
Were you walking or driving?
Walking.
I noticed walking comes up a lot in this tape. You did a lot of walking.
Yes, we walked a lot. We walked until, my children were about 5 years old or six when we had a hubmobile.
What's that?
Automobile, and it was made with a hubmobile people.
Hubmobile.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, when you had this debit and you had 20 people collecting once a month, did you do it all in a couple of days, or did you spread your work out over the whole month?
No, I'd done it all in about a week's time. I'd go so many places every day during the week, pretty near every day, till I got it all. So maybe it would take me a little more than a week.
Did people usually have their money to pay you when you came?
Usually. The people I had were usually pretty good.
Did you have to assist them in any way? Say if a person had an insurance policy on a person who died, did you have to assist them in any way with the undertaker, the mortician?
No, I didn't. I don't think I had anybody in my debit that passed while I had it, but I've had a good many sick people. And where we had to pay
disability or
yes,
something.
Uh-huh.
How did you become an insurance agent?
Well, a relative of my husband's.
Do you remember the name?
Georgetta Drury. She and a friend of hers from here, Helen Penny, they worked with Dr. Kennebrew in this insurance in Jacksonville, Illinois.
Jacksonville?
Yes.
Illinois, okay.
And they decided that they needed somebody here. I think they had a fellow who used to come over here from Danville. And when he quit coming from Danville, why, they wanted somebody to take it up. So she begged me to take it, so I took it.
And how long did you work as an insurance agent?
No more than a couple of years, I don't know.
Do you remember which years those were?
No, I don't.
No idea. Okay, would you check that for me when we finish the tape? I know you're going on a trip, and you won't be back for a couple of weeks. When you come back, will you check, and I'll check back with you so we can get that information
okay.
to the typist.
Okay.
Something else I wanted to, the next thing, that AKA thing. What can you tell me about that?
The AKAs started to buy in a house at, I think it's 1401 West Clark, Urbana. West Stoughton, Urbana.
1401 West Stoughton?
Stoughton, Urbana.
Okay.
Anyway, it was just on the corner east of University High on the south side of the street. And they had members board members, and the board members were made up from a couple of members from the AKA house, and the other members, about four or five of them, were from what they call the AKA patroness board.
Patroness board?
Yes. And the main member was Mr. A.R. Lee.
Is that Arthur R.
Lee? A.R. Lee.
A.R. Lee.
Uh-huh.
Now, is that a different...
Albert?
Yes. Arley, okay.
And then Mrs. Rowan, Dr. Rowan's wife. We had a Negro doctor here with the name of Rowan and his wife. And Mrs. Alice Thomas and myself. Let me see who else. I think we were about... the only ones in the patrons' board that was on right then.
What year was this?
I can't remember.
Okay, you'll try to check that one for me too. Okay. Now, what did you do? What was this patroness board all about?
Well, after the girls got the house, there was many things they needed, and they couldn't go right in and get them for themselves, and their parents couldn't send them to them. So we would help them buy furniture and different things that they had to buy. We would give little dances and parties, card parties at the house and different things. And that's the way we got hold of the money to help them.
The dances and the card parties were held right there at the AKA house?
No, dances were held down in the Masonic Hall on Walnut Street in Champaign. and the card parties were held at the AKA house.
I see. How many girls were AKAs at that time, do you recall?
I don't recall right now.
Okay, yeah, I'm especially interested as to about what year this was. I hear a lot from people who were here earlier about black people not being allowed to live on campus and things like that. So I do for sure want to know the date for the typed information. All right, now, we also talked briefly about your traveling. You are a traveling lady. Could you tell me, I'd like for you to give me like your initial impressions of the various places you've been, and I'd like for you to start with the continent Africa. Which countries did you visit in Africa?
Well, we visited Nigeria and some parts of it was very nice, but when we landed in Lagos, and I didn't like Lagos at all. It was very poor in some places and very dirty. But where we stayed in Lagos, we stayed at my daughter-in-law's relatives, and they lived in Ikwe.
Ikwe? What's the name of your daughter-in-law's relatives? Do you recall that?
No, I can't recall it right now.
Okay.
Because it's a funny name.
Okay.
And we stayed there about 5 or 6 days, and then we went on to
Ghana.
Not where the men got killed.
No, but Ghana is the western coast. Ghana's not far from Liberia.
Yes. Well, we went to Ghana from there. And I guess we stayed there. We stayed there in a hotel 4 or 5 days. We visited all the natural scenery, the parks where the animal habitats were.
Mm-hmm.
Took us a couple of days. We visited there. We saw beautiful animals, and some of them were friendly, some of them weren't. But we enjoyed seeing that. We went to services there.
Church services?
Yes, at the Presbyterian Church. And we met the president of the state. His official visit was there the day that we were at church. And when he came with all of his escorts, their wives, children, and their band, and everything. And they gave a reception for him. And we were treated very nice, and we enjoyed it very nice. It wasn't too much different from things that we go to over here.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went from there to Monrovia.
Monrovia? Liberia.
And then in Monrovia, we stayed at the hotel where the president was visiting there.
Which president?
Of
Ghana?
I don't think it was Ghana.
President of Monrovia? Okay.
And he had quite a crowd with him, and they visited the cemetery where
W.E.B. Du Bois, is that, let's see, a cemetery.
The president has been there a long time.
William Tubman?
Yes.
You visited the grave of William Tubman?
He wasn't there. Well, he had been a president for a long time, and he was buried I don't think it's any more than 500 feet away from our hotel room window.
Okay, now is that something we need to check? Because William Tubman was president of Monrovia for a long time. You think it maybe was somebody else?
But anyway, I'll have to check and really get the name of them.
Okay, that'll be fine.
But they had the eternal flame burning every day.
Like the eternal flame we have burning here for John F. Kennedy?
Yes. And they changed guards every so often. And well, people were crowded there every day just going around. And we could sit out on the veranda of our hotel and watch them go and come every day.
Just relaxing, watching, huh? Okay, now you said, didn't you go to Kenya also?
I can't remember. Okay.
Well, remember what I told you from the first time, any time as we're going along.
We visited the school, the Methodist school in Monrovia.
Oh, do you know the name of it?
It's kind of Monrovia College, I think it was, the Methodist College. And the church and the school was built right near together. And the pastor of the church was, he married his wife's niece. And he traveled with his president most all the time, and he was gone when we were there. They were just going on their visit. But before we left there, we saw him when he went to the hotel.
And okay.
We just got to see him. We didn't get to talk or anything, but we just got to see him.
All right. What about Jamaica? Did you go to Jamaica? I saw that thing in the kitchen, or was that brought
no,
to you?
No, I went with Randall about that, to my sister.
Mrs. Randall.
I think that's it. Uh-huh.
The Ruth Randall you had mentioned earlier?
The red.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Where else have you been? I call you the traveling lady.
Only different little places in the United States.
So then Africa is the only place you've been outside of the United States?
NASA.
Tell me about Nassau. What was your initial impression?
Well, I liked Nassau very much. We stayed at a very nice hotel. And I didn't go swimming because I don't swim. But I did go on the boat.
You didn't even stick your feet in the water?
Went for miles on the boat. And I enjoyed it very much. If I had to go back that way again, I'd just soon go to Nassau or anywhere else.
Really? You like that best?
I like that very much.
You have children in various parts of the United States, and I know a week or so ago you mentioned that you've traveled with them, different places. Of all the places you've been in the United States, which place did you like best?
Well, if I had to live with in any of them, I think I'd rather live in White Plains, New York.
White Plains, New York?
Yes.
Now, wait a minute. Who's in White Plains?
Barbara.
And her husband? Mm-hmm. Why White Plains, New York? What do you like about there?
Well, the rest of them, most places they live, kind of in the city. Like when I went to San Francisco, It was a beautiful place, but I didn't care to live there. And I wouldn't live unless I had to in Los Angeles. And I'd rather not live in Chicago. And I could live in Milwaukee. It's very nice. And I like Maryland, where my daughter lives. But only one thing, there's too much country-like. Too many woods for me.
Even in White Plains, New York?
No, it's in Maryland. It's too many woods for me.
So White Plains, New York would be your place if you had to choose somewhere else besides
Champaign,
Illinois.
But I'm hoping that I never have to choose.
Okay. Before we come to the end of this tape, I want you to just think for a few minutes. Are there any organizations, are there any other committees, Is there anything you can think of that you have done that you'd like to share with us on this tape?
I don't belong to them now, but I used to belong to the Eastern Star.
How, when was that?
Oh, that I belonged before I was married and after I was married too for a while.
What do you do in that group, the Eastern Star? I mean, wait a minute, before I even ask you that, what is the Eastern Star a part of?
Of the Masons.
So it's Masons for Men?
Blue Lodge. Masons Blue Lodge for men and Eastern Star for the women.
Okay. So what did you do when you were in that organization?
Well, it's sort of a secret organization.
Oh, so you're not going to tell me secrets this morning, huh? Okay, but you were a member for how many years?
Oh, let's see. Oh, about 3 or 4 years.
Anything else?
I belonged to the American Legion Auxiliary once upon a time, too. But I don't belong now. And the only thing besides the church I belong to now and the church club is senior citizens. I don't get to attend.
But you do belong.
I do belong.
Hey, one day you also told me how much you like to read. What kinds of things do you read?
Well, I read all good books, but mostly religious books now and the Bible.
You like the Daily Word and
yes.
Upper Room? Mm-hmm. Things like that.
And I love poems.
Oh, you do? Do you have a favorite poet?
No. I had a favorite poem once, but I don't know who wrote the poem. I don't know whether the author was anonymous or what. But I can't remember it, and I haven't been able to find it, but I'm going to keep on trying until I do.
Do you remember any of the words in the poem?
Something about them. Heaven is not reached by a single bound, but we build a ladder by which we rise. From the balmy earth to the lofty skies, and we mount to its summit round by round. You know, it has another word, so I count this fairly true or something like that, but I can't remember. And I think I learned it about, oh, 6th or 7th grade.
And you have continued to remember that poem, and it's still your favorite. I noticed when I was looking through some of your things over there, you had the poem, like, written in free verse to your mother.
Mm-hmm.
How old were you when you did that? I noticed it has RBW on it.
I must have been about 13 or 14.
When you wrote that for her. And you ought to get that in a frame. That's very nice. Mrs. Hines, if you had, I think now of Mary McLeod Bethune's Last Will and Testament, her legacy to black people, if you had one thought that you could share with all people, what would that thought be?
Well, I believe today it would be for our younger blacks to get all the education they can and try to get others to believe in having an education and try to have them to read the Bible more and understand it so that when they become my age.
And that age is?
And that age will be 86 in October. That they will have something that they can look back on and say that I'm trying to make my life something like my friends or somebody has advised me to do. And if they continue that, and then I have a chapter in the Bible that I love.
Say it right here.
The 139th chapter of Psalms.
Yeah.
And the first,
Would you like to read any of that?
I don't know.
Okay, just a minute.
Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10. Whether shall I go from my spirit, or whether shall I flee from the presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning, and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. And if I can get others to be as interested in that as I am, and my grandchildren to follow me, I'll be happy.
Thank you, Mrs. Ruth Beatrice Woodruff Hines. Correction for the typist. Mrs. Hines would like to give additional information about her brother, whose name is
Arthur Eugene Mudder.
Okay.
And he's deceased now, but he had a daughter and a son. The daughter has gone too, and his wife. But there's nobody living with a Woodruff name now but Eugene and I. And Eugene lives at in Carver Park in Champaign.
His whole name? What was his whole name?
His whole name is Eugene Johnson Woodruff.
Does he have children?
No.
All right.
He has his Dorothy Ruiz, his niece's children, that he kind of looks after. They live next door.
Okay.